Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. Mark 12, verse 35. When you find your place in your copy of Scripture, would you please stand as we read God's Word? This is God's holy Word. It is true. May it sanctify us today. Mark 12, verse 35. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "How is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" A large crowd listened to him with delight. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please teach us your word this morning. Please give us the grace to receive it, to truly be changed by it, to not simply hear your word and then decide it's too hard and walk away, or too uncomfortable and we'll just ignore it, too inconvenient and we'll deal with it later. Oh, Lord, give us the grace to receive it and be changed by it. There is a way that seems right to man, a way that leads away from the truth of the Word, but that way leads to death. But in your presence are pleasures forevermore. Let our delight be in your Word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to talk about humility from our text. Humility is an essential attribute of the person who pleases God and whom God blesses. Humility is commended to us throughout Scripture. Psalm 18:27, for example, says, "You, Lord, save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty." And Psalm 25:9 says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way." Psalm 149, verse 4 says, "For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory." Proverbs 3:34 warns us that the Lord mocks the proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. And Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, "These are the ones I look on favor with, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at my word." In James, in the New Testament, we're told in chapter 4, verses 6 and then verse 10, that the Lord gives us more grace, and that's why the Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Peter echoing the same thing, says in chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, all of you clothe yourselves with humility to one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. And of course, Jesus taught frequently on the issue of humility. In Matthew 23, verse 12, Jesus says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. According to the late author and Bible teacher Jerry Bridges, humility is the second most frequently taught trait in the New Testament, second only to love. By Bridges' count, there are some 50 instances where love is explicitly taught in the New Testament, and there are 40 instances where humility is taught. Love, we talked about that for the last couple of weeks, plus humility, which we consider today, leads us to the foundation of Christian character. Christians are to be loving. Christians are also to be humble people. And all of those other graces, all those other character traits that come out of our lives or should be produced in our lives are a result of this foundational basis of love and humility working in concert together. Now, I told you two, three weeks ago, that we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength. All that we are, we love God. And the way that we prove our love for God is by loving our neighbors. We won't love our neighbors without loving God, and we prove our love for God by loving our neighbors. But I want to suggest to you that you cannot love God, you cannot love your neighbors unless you are humble. Because proud people are not loving people. All Christians are called to be humble. It's not an option. You know, not all of us are called to be preachers. Not all of us are called to be missionaries. Not all of us are called to be Sunday school teachers. Not all of us are called to work with preschoolers or senior adults. You know, not all of us are called to go either, you know, into certain things. But all of us are called to love, and all of us are called to be humble. True humility is required. Now, I want you to understand this morning that true humility is not a reflection of your personality or temperament. There are some people who are self-effacing. They are, by nature, what we would call wallflowers. They just kind of shrink back into the shadows. They don't want attention from anyone. You might have that kind of disposition and still be horribly arrogant and proud. You might be the kind of person we would call the life of the party. You are at the center of everyone's attention. You're the one who's getting everybody together and having a good time, and everybody knows you and knows who you are, and you can be an incredibly humble person. It's not your personality. You need to understand that this morning. I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning as we were working through our lesson and talking about some of these things, and I said, I'm when I preach these sermons, I really preach to myself. I mean, I hope you understand that. Some of you walk out and you say, you must be talking to me. No, I'm really talking to me, and you've just got the same problems I do. And I need this sermon this morning because I'm not a humble person. Every once in a while, somebody will come and they will try to pay a compliment to me, and they say, you're so humble, Noah. How did you become that way? No, I'm just a good faker. It's just kind of the bent of my personality that I tend to be a little self-effacing. But I promise you that I am a horrifically arrogant, selfish person. Just ask my family. They know. Because I think it's all about me all the time. It's not your personality. It's not how you might comport yourself in front of other people. It's who you are on the inside. We're called to be humble. So what is humility? The word to humble means to make yourself low. Literally, it means to lower yourself. And I know psychologists would have a field day with this. Oh, we need to raise your self-esteem. And no, what we need today is to have a true estimation, a true understanding of who we are before God and in relation to other people. To be humble means that you recognize and rightly respond to the majestic glory and greatness of God. To be humble means that you recognize that God is God and I am not. And also when it comes to relating to other people, to be humble means that you will put other people before yourself. You will seek their good before your own. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about humility. Now, from our text, we see this illustrated so beautifully. And I want to notice three traits of the truly humble from our text this morning. First of all, I want you to see that the humble submit to and honor Christ as Savior and Lord. We see this in verses 35 to 37. Then we're going to see in verses 38 to 40 that the humble do not elevate themselves or exploit others. And then third, we'll see in verses 41 to 44, the humble live by faith, depending on God. So those are the three traits of humble people that we see here. Even though the word humility is not used explicitly in this passage, that's what is at the heart of this. The issue of humility. First of all, humble people submit to and honor Christ as Savior and Lord. Jesus has been in a series of debates, a series of conversations and disputations. The religious leaders have come in succession to him, trying to trap him. They've been posing these questions. You know, what's the greatest commandment? And if a woman's married seven times and her husbands all die, who's she going to be married to in the resurrection? And all these kind of crazy questions. They're trying to find a way to trap Jesus in his words to discredit him and ruin his public ministry. And of course, Jesus, who has all wisdom, answers correctly and rightly in every case. And so finally, they stop asking questions, but Jesus decides he's got a question for them, and he asks it. It comes from Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Jesus says, I want you to consider that first phrase, that first line of Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord. That's Yahweh. That's Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth. That's who that is. The Lord. Almighty God said to, and he says, my Lord. And the word, the second Lord here is the Hebrew word Adonai. It means master, king, boss. Now, Jesus is pointing out here that David is writing this psalm, and understand who David is. David is the king. He sits on the throne that has been established by God, a throne that God has promised will endure forever. And in Jewish culture, in ancient culture, the elder was always superior to the descendant. So, for example, when David was ready to pass on the throne to his son Solomon, David never once calls Solomon my king. He doesn't call Solomon my Lord. He simply says, I'm the king and you can have my throne when I'm gone. But everybody understood that David was superior to Solomon. And on down the line. That's why it was so important for the Jewish people to trace their lineage back to Abraham, back to the patriarchs, because they wanted that's where their identity resided. That's where they defined their authority, is to trace back to these people who'd gone on before. And so no one, no king anywhere would ever call a descendant someone who is superior to them. Our culture's a little different. Our culture doesn't make this a big deal, but this was a very big deal in Jesus' culture. And in here, we see David humbling himself before his descendant. What's happening is David is humbling himself by calling his descendant my Lord. David, yes, I might be the king, but there's someone who will be king over me, someone who will reign over me, one of my own descendants will take the throne and rule over me. David is humbling himself because ultimately he's talking about the one who'd come as Messiah. The humble person has the same kind of disposition as David has here. no matter what position we may occupy in life, some of you are very important people, and some of you are, in the eyes of the world, nobodies. But the humble person, regardless of the position we might hold, whether we are kings or emperors or queens or princesses or prime ministers or presidents or a bum in the eyes of the world, doesn't matter. All of us, the humble person, will recognize that there is one to whom we all bow. We all humble ourselves before the Lord. The humble person recognizes that he or she is not their own Lord, not their own master. It's not our life, but we belong to Jesus Christ. That's why David's in heaven today. Because this future descendant of his, he said, "You are my Lord, and I put my trust in you." And so this morning I want to ask, is Jesus your Lord? Have you humbled yourself and submitted to Him? Listen, the proud go on their own way. They chart their own course. The Bible warns that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And friend, you might be there saying to yourself, "I'm going my own direction. I'll do it my way. Me and old Blue Eyes, right there together." And it'll lead to your destruction. The humble, on the other hand, will submit to Jesus Christ as Savior. The humble recognize that we're sinners, separated from God, and we can't save ourselves. There's no good thing that you and I can do to earn God's favor. But if we call on Jesus and trust in Him alone, we will be forgiven because God wants to forgive us and He will be gracious toward us. The humble submit to Jesus as Savior. The humble submit to Jesus as Lord. The humble come to Jesus and says, "Not my will, but your will be done." It's Jesus who commands our destiny. The humble say, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way." So have you humbled yourself, submitting to Christ, honoring Him as your Savior and Lord? I pray that you will. Second, the humble do not elevate themselves or exploit others. Verses 38, we're told what the teachers of the law did. They like to walk around in flowing robes. They like to make a show. They had a particular style of robe, a particular robe that set them apart from other people. And they made sure that their robes looked particularly holy, particularly righteous. So that when you saw them, you would say, "Ooh, that's impressive." You know, as I'm thinking through this, I couldn't help but think about Boy Scouts. You know, you've seen the Boy Scouts, they got their sashes on, and they're just, you know, the kids with all the merit badges. You know, they've got merit badges for everything. And you know what? It's good. You learn a lot of good stuff through Boy Scouts and everything, but I'm imagining these religious leaders who've got their Jewish merit badges covering all their robe, and they make them look all good so the people notice and say, "Oh, there goes somebody who's really made it with God." They're trying to impress people. They want to be greeted in the marketplace. They want to show off. When they go to church, when they go to synagogue, they want the front and center seat. Now, you know, we obviously know they're not Baptists, because in Baptist churches, you always sit in the back, right? You know, we start throwing elbows for that back seat if necessary. But in synagogue, they wanted to sit right down here front so you could see them, you'd notice them, you'd pay attention to them. They would have a box, they called it the Ark, that's where they kept the scripture scrolls. And these teachers of the law, they would jockey for position to be right in the dead center of that, right in front of it. Because they wanted you to pay attention to them. They wanted the places of honor at banquets. They wanted to have the VIP red carpet treatment. Everything that they did was an attempt to display how great they were in the eyes of men and amass accolades from people. They wanted to be well thought of by their peers, but really they wanted everybody to think that they were beneath them. And what they did to others. Jesus says they devoured widows' houses. These teachers of the law, they didn't get a salary. They were dependent upon living on the offerings, the gifts of other people. And so what they would do is they would find especially these widows, and they would con them into supporting them. And these poor, impoverished widows would give their livelihood to support them. And they did it without a second thought. They took advantage of the poor and they used them. They made lengthy prayers. Not because lengthy prayers are bad. Jesus prayed all night. But they did it for a show. It was a farce. They were mocking true religion and true prayer. They just wanted to impress you with their flowery religious words. Friends, Jesus says, watch out for them. Such men will be punished most severely. And what Jesus is saying to us today is, if you're going to be like this, you better watch out. Don't be like this. Be humble. These people are marked by their pride. Instead, you be humble. Do not elevate yourself. Don't try to promote yourself and make much of yourself. Go be a servant. And don't take advantage of others. Don't exploit others. Make sure you take care of others. Don't step on people. Because God doesn't like that. The humble don't elevate themselves or exploit others. So how do you see yourself in relationship to other people? How do you treat them? Do you use them and abuse them? That's just somebody I can walk on to elevate myself, to promote my own brand, to make myself feel good about me. I can just use them. Or I seek to humbly serve and minister to them. Third, the humble live by faith, depending on God alone. Verses 41 to 44. As Jesus is setting down in the temple courtyard, there were the offering coffers. There were 13 large containers. They had trumpet-like openings, big openings where you could... Maybe you've been to the mall or somewhere where they've got those big boxes where you can drop a coin in there and they just spin around and spin around. I remember the first couple of times my kids did that. They loved that. And the first time Matthew did it, that we gave him a coin and he put it in there. He's probably 2-3 years old. And then he was so upset because he couldn't get his coin back. You know, he just spun around all the way down. Like, I want my coin back. That's not the way it works. And that's the way it was in the temple. They had these big coffers where this big... trumpet-looking opening, and people would go through and they'd throw their money in there. They'd drop their money in there, and it'd slide down into the box where it couldn't be stolen. And there were all these rich people. They were coming through, and they were just walking along, and they were making a big deal, making a big show. And you know, they're probably like, you know, those guys that get irritated with their taxes, and they decide they're going to pay their tax bill in pennies. I just imagine, you know, these rich people bringing up a wheelbarrow full of pennies and saying, oh, I got to throw my offerings in. They were putting all this money in there, and everybody's paying attention. Ooh, look how big their offerings are. Here comes this little old lady, this little old widow. She's got two coins. The text here says two copper coins. They're just minuscule amounts of money. And she drops it in there. The Bible tells us that's all she had to live on. So think about a poor widow lady who has no money. She has no money to pay her bills. She has no money to buy food. She's got a buck. She's got enough money to go to McDonald's and get a $1 cheeseburger. And that's all she's got to live on until she can get some more money. And she comes in and she puts that in the offering. And Jesus reaches over and slaps Peter. He says, hey, did you see that? Did you see what she just did? All these rich people who are showing off, all these rich people who think they're something, they're nothing. But that lady, she gave all she had because she honors God. She gave more. Not because quantitatively there was more money that she dropped in. But she put all of her faith, all of her trust in God to care for her as she honored Him with all that she had. I don't think the lesson to take away from this is to empty out your bank accounts and put them in the church offering plate. I don't think that's what Jesus is commending here. I do think what Jesus is commending here is for all of us to live by absolute faith and dependence upon the Lord. And that's what the humble do. The humble don't count on what they have. The humble count on what the Lord will provide. So this morning I want to know, are you humble? Have you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? And do you say, Lord, You command my destiny? Are you treating people as a servant would? Loving and caring for them? And are you living in daily dependence upon the Lord to provide for your needs and to meet the needs that you have? That's what it means to be a humble person. Not to be self-effacing or to put yourself down. Quite honestly, the humble person is pretty self-forgetful. The humble person doesn't think much of themselves. But the humble person thinks a lot about the Lord. Things about how to serve and honor the Lord, how to depend upon the Lord, and how to serve and love people in the name of the Lord. Are you humble today? I'm not nearly close enough, not nearly humble enough. But with God's help, maybe I'll get a little better. How about you? Heavenly Father, help us to be a humble people. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to honor You, to submit to You and surrender to You. Help us to love people, care for people, serve people like You did instead of taking advantage of them and exploiting them and abusing them. Help us to live day by day in dependence upon You, living by faith. May we be a humble church. As we humble ourselves, we pray that You would lift us up to the glory and renown of Your name. We pray this through Jesus our Savior. Amen.